Well, I know that holidays can sometimes bring lots of busyness. I've been told certain people, not even try to talk to them, they're going to be out the door, places to be. I get it. We've got five crock pots going at home right now. So I know what that's like. But it's also nice to slow down for a little bit and take some time to remember the most important things, right? And I think Christmas, for all of its busyness, does give us that opportunity where we get to talk about an event that changed the world. And I want to talk about one of the most important passages that we find in the Bible. There are several good ones. We know that. Everybody's got their favorites. But especially this time of year, I keep coming back around to the statement in Luke 2 and the angels speaking to the shepherds and the way they describe what's going on. So many different descriptions, so many ways to describe the really undescribable situation of God with us, of God coming to earth in the form of a human, born as a baby. And the angel that speaks to the shepherds comes up with a term that we still use to describe the life of Jesus. He said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." We're talking about good news today. And when we talk about Jesus, we talk about good news. Whether we're talking about birth, life, death, resurrection, when we talk about Jesus, we talk about good news. And that's what it was said from the very beginning of his story. Now, there are a few things that we can say about this good news, this gospel story. For one thing that we see, and we talked about a little bit in class this morning and other times, we can say for certain that this good news, this gospel story, was the plan all along. We've talked about various Old Testament texts at times. Many of them talk about the Savior that is to come. A couple months ago, I think it was, we looked at the idea of the fullness of time. Right? The idea that even the history outside the Bible was leading up to this event happening. We talked about the Greeks that gave the whole world the same language so the story could be told to everyone. And we talked about the Romans who made a road system so that the message could be carried to everyone. We talked about all these things that even outside the Bible were leading up to this good news. It was not a change in plan. You know, sometimes we talk about it that way, unintentionally, I think. We talk about, well, we have the garden, and if only they could have done things right in the garden, then it would have been fine. But it got messed up, and God had to bring the flood, and then God changed his plan, made the covenant with Abraham, and if only they could have kept the covenant, and we talk about all these things. If only it could have just stayed the way it was there, if only it just worked out, then we wouldn't have needed. I understand those statements. I've made those statements. I understand where we're going with it, but the truth is, this gospel story, this good news, this sending Jesus, this God with us story, was the plan all along. When you talk about prophecy and the things said about Jesus, here's a statement that I don't think any way to be actually proven, but I like it. I'll put the disclaimer there. In the book, The Case for Christ, Lee Strobel is looking at evidence for the gospel story. And he's talking to an expert who says a statement. Again, I like it. Don't hold me to it. But I think he's on the right track. He says, if you take all of the statements saying what the Messiah was going to be, if you take the outright messianic prophecies from the Old Testament and calculate the odds. Again, I don't know how you would exactly calculate the odds. But I'm done apologizing for this. Says, the odds of somebody fulfilling all of these things in the way that Jesus did, says, would be if you covered the surface area of North America in 1-inch square tiles and put an X on the bottom of one of them. The odds of somebody fulfilling all those things would be the same as the odds of randomly picking one of those tiles and finding the X. I don't know where the numbers come from. But you get the idea. This was not a hastily thrown together plan when somebody didn't do a sacrifice right. Good news from the beginning. And not only was this good news the plan all along, but this gospel is good news for everyone. What did the angel say? He said, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all of the people. And that really has been the story of Jesus. Everyone who comes in contact with Jesus, that good news seems to rub off. Right? Something about Jesus makes things better. Brings blessing. Think about some of the lives that have come in contact with Jesus. First, you have Mary and Joseph. Strangely, I believe that's the same picture that was on one of the song slides. So if Kathy picked it out, this must be a good picture. So I feel vindicated there. But think of how their lives changed there. Having a new baby is enough to change a life, but now this is the baby that brings the good news. Your baby is God. And we have the shepherds. We know the Christmas story, right? You've heard Linus tell it on the Charlie Brown Christmas special. We know about the angels speaking to the shepherds and how their lives would never be the same again. Luke doesn't tell about the Magi, but Matthew does. He says a little while after, they're no longer in the manger, they're in a house, and these Magi, wise men, not kings, but the song's still nice. These guys, they see a star, and they want to find out about it, and the star leads them to Jesus, and they bring gifts, and yet they are the ones who receive the good news. In class this morning, we talked about when Jesus was 8 days old, and he was brought to the temple, and he meets Simeon and Anna, and how Simeon says his whole life has been leading up to this moment. And Anna, the prophetess, goes and tells everyone about the good news. Luke also tells the story about when Jesus was 12, another scene at the temple where the teachers of the law have this young boy who's listening, sometimes a miracle in itself, and asking questions and giving answers, and they're amazed by his knowledge. And something about this boy is notable. And then there's his cousin, John the Baptist, who certainly his life was affected by the gospel. But even before John was born, it says that in the presence of Jesus, he leapt inside of his mother Elizabeth because of the Spirit. The good news, you can tell when Jesus is present. And we hear stories about his family, like John, but he had others that became almost like family. Mary, Martha, Lazarus. They all learned things about Jesus and about God in their own ways through contact with Jesus. Whether it's service or slowing down or not being so dead anymore. That Jesus impacted their lives. The good news keeps going on. And then there's the 12 that were closest to Jesus. He called them fishermen, tax collectors, zealot, all these different walks of life. He says, come, follow me. And their lives were forever changed. Most of them died for the gospel, died for the good news. And they would still call it good news, even with it ending that way. Along the way, he came across people where we see just short scenes. We have the woman at the well who comes away saying, this man told me everything about my life. And she went and told everyone. We have demoniacs that were freed from their captivity. Blind people, paralyzed people, their lives never the same again. Even in his death, the people near Jesus noticed something different. Even as he was dying, he was able to bless the thief on the cross, or you see right behind him the centurion. It just says something is different. I hope these are coming up. Yeah. After his death, the story's not over. You see, Stephen, whose life would be changed, who gave his life, but was willing to because of this good news. And behind him at the top of the picture, you see somebody else whose life was changed. Saul, Paul, came in contact with the gospel story and was never the same. Even Gentiles. This is the depiction of Luke, as we talked about in class this morning, was the only Gentile author in the Bible. And he made it clear in his tellings in Luke and in Acts that this is good news for everyone, Jews and Gentiles alike. So this whole story throughout the Bible, you see this ring of lives affected by the good news. And it keeps going. These two people, lives changed by the good news, raised in Christian church-going families, met while working at camp, and now continuing in ministry, and led to these three guys. And the story keeps going. The good news of Jesus is shaping Jared, Calvin, and Marcus's life through your interactions with them, through the ways that they're continuing to be taught. Some of you may know, may recognize this guy. This is Henry Oyer. I know that Henry and Lenny have been here at times. The first time that I remember coming here, I led singing on a day that Henry was preaching. We drove over from the college. Henry was from Kenya, and the good news got over to there. And Henry learned about it, and he came to Rochester. And now his family that you see there have gone back. They are living in Uganda and continuing to tell the good news, continuing to let this news reach more ears and more lives, and letting them know this is good news for everybody. We've talked about we've heard a lot about disaster relief this year. Don and Lois have shared about how they've helped with the preparation for those, and we've sent money and we've been praying for the disaster relief efforts. All of these ways that this good news is still being good news for everybody. I'm going to try something here. I've practiced. That doesn't mean it's going to work. You feeling the suspense? Come on now. This worked really well at home. This gospel message, this good news, is the reason we're together. It continues to be the story that shapes our lives. It is good news for everyone. And we need to make sure the good news gets told. And the good news needs to stay good news. This Christmas story, this story of God becoming one of us, is the most important story that we will ever hear or that we will ever tell. And there are so many ways that we can tell the story. But above all, we need to allow the story to remain good news for everyone. It has to stay that way. Sadly, when we have heard and told the story so many times for so long, it's possible to unintentionally turn this gospel story into bad news in the ways that we talk to and about others. When we speak the good news, we act in the same way as Jesus did as he reached out to those who were outside the people of God and invited them in, showing that God has a plan for them all along. When we do that, We are adding people to this picture. We are remembering this story that we are a part of. But then there are also the times, I don't know how intentional it is, that we reach out to those on the outside to do nothing more than remind them that they are on the outside and that they're lost. Or worse, we spend our time and efforts arguing with other Christians who disagree with us and try to convince them that they are lost. When the gospel becomes a weapon, it's no longer good news. Now, don't worry, this is not a message of I am okay and you're okay and everyone's okay. We're just all on a different road to the same place. And that's not where this is going. Jesus didn't preach that message, and I'm not going to either. But the gospel should be good news. It always has been. And when the gospel comes out of our mouths, it needs to remain good news. It should not be used to cut people out of God's promises. We don't take people away from the picture. It should be a way to provide a way for anyone to be a part of those promises. The good news draws people in. Jesus draws people in. Every one of us is here because in some way your story interacted and intersected with Jesus' story. And something about that good news spoke to you and you wanted in. You wanted to be a part of it. Everybody deserves that good news. The good news was the plan from the beginning. The good news is good news for everyone. And it can stay good news if we tell it that way. I remember my first ministry experience was as a summer internship at a church in Connecticut. And when I got there, I was impressed right away by the passion that they spoke about reaching the lost. So that's good. That's what we need to be about. But the more that they talked about this, the more that I listened, I heard stories of, I've been trying to reach out to my Baptist coworker to tell them that their baptism doesn't count. Or I've been studying with my Catholic aunt to convince her that she's an idolater because of her views on Mary. Their approach was, we're going to build a wall, gather all the ammunition we can, and blast away at the outsiders, figuring they might just give in and join us. As long as we get that argument just right, they're gonna try to get in once we've hit them with enough. These were some of the most loving Christians I've ever met. But they were wonderful people, but they turned the gospel into bad news. We hear about people with this type of approach. Hear about church leaders, not just in the South, but hear a lot of it in the South, where they gain their notoriety by their stellar record in debates. Right? I can argue better than you. There was a friend of mine was working at a church not too far from here. This was in Michigan. And an elder at that church sent out a flyer to every address in their town with the plan of salvation written on it. And he told my friend, he said happily, now our whole town is accountable. Which I think his heart was in the right place, but think of what that really sounds like. You know, the translation there is, when they go to hell, it's their fault, not mine. I sent them a flyer. How is that good news? How is that a message of God's love? Now, there are people who are lost out there. There's no doubt. Some are lost because they're stubborn. Some because they're misled. And some because they simply don't know the way. The choice that we have is whether we present the gospel in these situations as good news, come join us, or bad news, you don't belong with us. Think of it like somebody who's lost in the woods. We're going to use the term lost. You think of another way of being lost. The bad news approach sends those lost people a text message that says, "You're really lost. Make sure you get out of the woods before it gets dark, because the wolves will get you. Don't say I didn't warn you." That's the bad news. The good news approach says, "I'm going to go find them. And when I find them, I'm going to explain, I was lost once too. Let me show you how to get home." There are lost people. That's where we've been to. And the good news, the gospel story, is the way that we have any chance of helping. There's something about the good news of the Christmas story that's so appealing. There's a reason that we built such a major holiday around this, right? There's a reason that this is something that over time we have said this is worth celebrating. And just like everyone that comes across Jesus in the story, we are drawn somehow to the amazing miracle of God breaking through and living as one of us. The Word became flesh and pitched its tent with us. It's powerful and a comforting thing to know that through the birth of this baby, we became a part of the most incredible story ever told. God had a plan from the beginning. That plan included Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Elijah, Isaiah, the baby in the manger, and you and me, and everybody else that you've ever met. And that's good news, right? Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Merry Christmas. If there's anything that we can do for you this morning, if you say, "I want in the picture," well, again, if you need prayers, it doesn't matter how many crockpots are going, we want to be there for you. If there's anything we do, please come let us know as we stand and sing.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hid my soul in the cleft of a rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth